for everybody, whether we're sort of stateless or well settled in a home or home country or family. In a way, you know, we're all visitors here, and we're all out of place here, in a sense. And I think some people don't feel that, and they feel wonderfully settled and at peace with the environment and the people, and that's great. But most wanderers don't. And some wanderers spend many years trying to make themselves feel comfortable when they're just avoiding, you know, a core experience of not fitting in anywhere and feeling that something's quite missing. So being a traveler, in a way, is a good outer role for the wanderer who, you know, whose life on Earth is simply, you know, an extended travel that has a beginning and an end, and is very much far from home. And along that line, I found somebody who wrote a song called Indigo Boy, and then if you look at the link, it says author Scott Mandelker. And actually, he's got an overlay in the middle of his song of me talking about fourth density indigo children, which is very strange. And he's a young guy, I think. It's him. And definitely a wanderer. And it's a very plaintive song. You can't really listen to it now because it's kind of moaning. He's like moaning his way through the song. And the description of the song is SOS. So the main line of the song is, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. And then he's got my overview of Indigo Children in the middle of the piece. And I was very surprised to find that. Yeah, I guess so. So you never know who's a wanderer, right? Here's this guy's, you know, alternative, you know, I don't know what, soul, I don't know how he'd be categorized, but very plaintive, very heart-wrenching feeling of moaning his way through life on Earth, which we go through sometimes. So, I mean, I think that, you know, the wanderers, it's the question is the wanderer's alienation. Yes, I think so. Well, I mean, there are some people who really feel strongly they don't belong anywhere. They may love the planet, you know, ecologically, the nature, and have some friends, but there's a strong sense that yeah, he must have read my books. There's just a strong sense that no matter where I go, I don't belong here. Something like that is what he says. And he just repeats that on and on in the song. And then there's something at the end which he says, which I couldn't understand, which is repeated a few times. So in some ways, that's, you know, so we can ask, you know, what's the value of our working together? In a way, it's shown by some guy we don't know and never really even checks in, who just found his experience confirmed and legitimized or justified by, you know, this work, to realize why he feels as he feels living here on Earth. And you know, that's also why I say it's really important to be comfortable where you are. So it's such intracted confusion, or intractable. You know, there are very few people that you can really reach in this world in terms of a deep communication or deep sharing. It's really quite interesting. Yeah. You know that with family and with friends, and you know, we've all seen it. So it's a funny thing. I mean, the Wanderers, in the end, really are here for the planet. Because, in general, the people are disinterested in anything much we have to say. And that's part of the basis of our solitude. And feeling of, I don't belong here, as he said. So, we need to make peace with that, you know? And not pretend it's otherwise. And that's fine. But it requires some major inner changes, because some of what we do, we justify as we're doing it for them, when actually they don't care. So then who are we doing it for? We're doing it for our idea of how we want to feel about ourselves in doing for them. But actually the them doesn't really need much of what we're offer, again, in some cases. So there's a lot of spinning of our wheels in trying to help those who don't want much help. It's far better to just let it go. And so Chuang Tzu said something like, if it's straight, I help it along. If it's crooked, I leave it alone. And so, you know, perceiving the limitations of another's seeking. It's really measuring the degree of seeking. That's the determinant here. When we can determine the quality or purity or intensity of another's seeking, then we have a sense of how much is rightly offered and how much is superfluous and unnecessary. And then there are those who are caught in ideology. Military ideology, right? I'm defending our nation. Or religion, we're following the right way. Or corporate, you know, we're building our business. Or organizational, we're building our base and our, you know, community. All of that, unfortunately, obscures appreciation of universal principles. Like love, honesty, balance, unity, you know, cosmic purpose, soul, all the essentials that are very simple are neglected or overlooked or obscured and unseen by the various, you know, attachments to dogma or different groups that most people have. Those are the thinking people. You know, there are very few, there are not a lot of people who are thinking deeply, and of the people who are thinking somewhat, many of them are not free thinkers. They're, you know, non-unfree thinkers, thinkers in a box, rather than thinkers outside a box. And it's just because Earth humans are insecure, you know? And don't really trust themselves, so they have to put themselves into a box or just not think. Those are the common methods here. Well, I agree with the view that you should say as much as possible to everyone. But the question is possible. The matter is what's possible. And, you know, we don't want to infringe free will. But also, more so, we don't want to waste ourselves and waste energy and time and effort and attention and care when the person doesn't want. When they don't want to receive, the giving must be limited. So I think it's an integration of two views. One is, they are, you know, the negative powers are getting away with huge amount of license to do their thing because people don't know. But people don't know mainly because they don't want to know. That is a principle. You know, when you want to know something, you know it, or you discover it. And everything you know is the result of you having wanted to know, sufficiently wanted to know, to make effort to know. So those who don't know are those who don't want to know. Now, they may want to know more, and therefore, you know, it's important to be sensitive to what they want and be ready to offer as much as they can handle. But it's a question of how much do they want and can they handle. And, you know, it's just a waste, wasted effort, seeds on rocky ground, to do a lot for those who have very little interest. And really, most have very little interest. And they don't even want to think, you know, when the shit hits the fan in any bigger way, they still don't want to think because it's not comfortable for them to think too deeply. And therefore, they'll just accept the boxes that are offered and fall into them and make an apartment in the box. The idea, the box of limited belief. You know, or you know, narrow ideology, whatever it may be. So I'm just saying, in practice, that's just the first step. The second step is determination of receptivity in the other.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that exactly. I don't agree with that completely. In that,
if you depend on others' words to know their mind and know the situation, you're already lost and you're in trouble. I don't mean you, you know, I mean in general. If we depend on others' words, we'll always be confused. You have to know them better than they know themselves, and you have to know them by your insight, by seeing their mind. Which doesn't mean seeing particular thoughts necessarily, but understanding intuitively, where is this person coming from? What's happening here? And it's very doable. But if it depends, but you see, we all, they and us too, have blind spots and avoid knowing, you know, avoid confronting and feeling and knowing and understanding that which is most important within us. Both positive and negative. That which is deepest, that which is furthest down from ordinary five-sense consciousness. That which is further away, furthest away from the ordinary five-sense body-related consciousness. That's the deeper levels of mind. That's potentiator of mind. And that includes two levels that are critical. One is the deep personal psychological, which is really our wounding, our pain, our wretchedness. We're all wretched in some ways, which means we all have a lot of pain, and we all have a bunch of anger and sorrow and fear. Those are the deeper levels of the personal unconscious, the blockages that most people don't want to see. And then below that even is our glory. And complete and whole and perfect, higher self and joy, unity and peace and balance and, you know, our freedom and our enlightenment, which is now too. So those, you know, but you can't see the sun unless you go through the clouds. You have to pass through the clouds to find the sun on the other side. And most everybody doesn't do that, me too, in certain ways. And therefore, when problems arise in a relationship, it's usually the result of our unseen blockages mixing with their unseen blockages, unrecognized to both, more or less, with both following their neurotic patterns or unconscious patterns, like, you know, judgment based on unrecognized neediness, or intolerance or non-receptivity based on fear and low self-valuation. Sorry, it's all heavy, heavy, heavy here, but, you know, my mind is returning to home, and so there's no need to put filler between primary concepts. So what I'm saying is how you don't know yourself and how they don't know their self, which is stuff you both don't want to see, we all don't want to see. That's what causes the conflicts. And the fact that both don't want to both continue to not want to see means the conflicts continue. Now, it's very valuable to discover what that's all about. Very, very. If at least we can change ourselves to be at peace in truth, in seeing, in knowing, that would be wonderful. Then it certainly doesn't matter what they think or what they say, because you know them. And you know why you feel as you feel, anger or disappointment. And you know their limitations, and then it's not expected in the future for them to be otherwise. You know, I don't expect you to be otherwise, but I do need to know where you're coming from, not by you telling me, but by me knowing it. I would like you to say as much as possible, but most people can't. So we have to do it ourselves. And to whatever extent that stuff is important, we can't run away from it. To whatever extent these relations are important and they tie into important feelings and needs below that particular relationship, is the history of not feeling loved or not having love or not feeling stabilized, deep understanding and joining in partnership or friendship. And that's, you know, life on earth. And to the extent that we don't look at the particulars of this problem, we won't find the deeper levels to it, and we become shallow, because our activities are based on avoidance and hollow. It's hollow because the inner hasn't been filled with understanding. The ground is hollow beneath our feet because it's not filled with deep self-understanding. So my perspective then is a little different, and yet I would agree that there has to be proportionality and the wise valuation of where to spend our time and what's important and how much to deal with anything, because there are other things, you know. There's the problems of our own relationships, there's the difficulty of our moving forward, and then there's the perfection of every tree and every flower in front of us that we see in the day. And the beauty and the glory of the sky and the clouds and the sun, despite the chemtrails, despite their negativity. There's the glory of the sun and the sky and the clouds and the air and the wind blowing through the leaves of the trees, all of which are speaking. So that's not unimportant, and it's not less important than, you know, the social degradation of America and its psychoanalysis and the particulars of frustration in particular relationships. It's all important, and there has to be some balance in engagement, balanced engagement in the different areas of our life, right? So there's the cosmic and there's the eternal, there's the interpersonal and social, and then there's the personal, deep mind, you know, vertical, deep within, right? So there's the horizontal and the vertical. The horizontal being social and the vertical being to higher self and the deep mind, which includes, you know, all that we don't want to deal with. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a holdover from childhood thinking. And we all have it, too. I want my partner, I want my friend to be everything I want them to be, and to be really interested in me, and to know me, and to be interested to talk about themselves, and talk about truth, and explore, on and on and on. But that's not the case. That's not the way it really is. And or they should read my mind, and you should know how I'm feeling without me having to tell you. This kind of thing. That's called ladies' favorite, I think. I'm angry at you because you don't even know that you should know enough to know my feeling without me having to tell you. And that just shows that you're insensitive and you don't really love me. Woe is me. You're no good. And I failed with another insensitive man again. You know, these are childhood longings unfulfilled carried over in unconscious patterns or unconsciously manifesting or unclear manifesting in current relations. You should know everything that I am, and you, and true love means that you're fully available always, and it should be very easy. Well, it should be, but that's 4D union, okay? That's 4D in the light, no veil, 4D positive. That's not here. 3D is not 4D, you know? I mean, confusion and veiling and selfishness and narrow-mindedness or small-mindedness is normative here. It's normal. That's the way it is here, based on the veil, actually, and the social complex, of course. So, I think we need a reality check. Those hopes are very fine, you know. There's nothing wrong, and it's funny. Some people become luxury loving, who are very spiritual, because at the material level, at the physical material level, having luxury in the human life is comparable to living in bliss in higher dimensions. With everything you want, certainly comparable to 4D positive, where everyone has all their material needs fully taken care of. And by that, they're very happy to be together. You know, everybody wants everyone to have everything they need. But when you have that, then quickly people move to higher needs, you know, more than material accumulation. So I'm just saying, part of our hopes are carryovers from being from the home density of Wanderer's origin. And that's not a little matter, because we carry a lot hopes and expectations that are not realistic in this at this plane, on this plane, PLANE. So, yeah, it's like forgiveness of self and other, based on understanding. You know, we're limited in how much we can care for them, you know? We don't see people that deeply also, or we're limited, and we're self-centered too. So we want for us just as they want for them, just as they're limited, just as we are. So it's kind of poignant, the 3D physical experience. Anyway, I think the women must hear that when they're about 5 years old from somebody. And it's kind of pandemic, or it's, yeah, right. So then you're based on, then you had frustration that he didn't know that. And, you know, that leads to further conflicts and misunderstanding or issues. But, you know, I'll tell you something. That's also true. But the reality is your partner is not perfectly loving you. Our partners don't love us perfectly. Mm-hmm. They don't have the total sensitivity that we want. And this isn't a pure, perfect union. The thing is, that anger, the frustration and anger from the from the unfulfillment of that desire, which is really an unreasonable desire, or it's reasonable in essence, but it's reasonable. It's very fair, you know? People say you shouldn't want it all, or, you know, you shouldn't want too much. But no, I think you should want it all, and you should want all you want, and be honest about that. Some of that, however, is only available in a higher dimension, you know? And the other thing is, we're not totally giving to them either. You know, we want a perfect partner while we ourselves are quite imperfect. That's yet another bullshit Disney-type conditioning that women have received, is that, you know, you're a princess and he's Prince Charming. And the princess doesn't self-reflect, necessarily. She may be very goodly, but she doesn't necessarily, you know, if you just think, I'm good, then you don't see how you're not. We don't see how we're not fully loving. The principle is, the higher principle is, be the one you want.
right? Be the change you want. Be the loving, wonderful partner that you want. And that will magnetize it faster than anything else. And you'll also see how the other isn't. And you'll also not expect the impossible on this plane. So, yeah, there's a saying that youth is wasted on the young. And, well, that's the result of the negative leadership here, okay? Because of the negative leadership, the development of wisdom in all higher social, positive wisdom, you know, wisdom, love, as the development of love, wisdom, balanced love, wisdom, guiding principles for society is not allowed. The development of those principles, which could be taught in schools by parents, on the media, and practiced by leadership, it's not happening. And so that's one result of the negative control of the system here. For sure, that people, you're not taught how to live a happy life or to live a valuable life. You're taught how to, you know, serve a function, a limited function as a, you know, gear in the machine. Certainly more like that. Right. Yeah, you're taught obedience. You're taught conformity to authority. Submission to authority, obedience, and conformity. And you're taught that you're not important also. You're taught that your value depends on your functionality. Your achievement in functionality. Meaning how much money you make or what the level of your position is as a functional, it's a functionary. The term is called functionary. A functionary is a person whose value is based on serving a function. So everybody on the negative path is a functionary of the one above them that keeps them in place or dismisses them. They're all functionaries, and that's one reason they're so angry. It's because they're being screwed by the system that they're loyal to. That's one reason the negatives are angry always, is because they're screwed by everyone all up and down the ladder. There's no love, you know, no love among thieves. So, yeah, well, yeah, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, is one way to look at that. But you know, again, it's a case by case thing, and you know, you should do what you feel is best. And you know, when there's some confusion about what's best, then you know, although we still don't understand consequences, you have free reign to do whatever you want. So you can make a rejoinder and keep talking. And argue your point or support your point. You may find that the consequences are that the person shuts down further or shuts off the discussion completely, or that they're willing to listen, but probably not. So, I mean, you know, it's useful to have confusion when you make some action within it that you think is, you know, best, or what you want to do, and then you observe the consequences of that. So there's no, you know, if you want to talk, talk more. If you don't. So I don't know. I mean, for me, when I hear a certain conviction of disinterest or non-receptivity, then I just stop the whole thing because, you know, they don't really want to know. They're not really interested in talking about it. They actually don't want to talk about it. They want to just continue their action based on their belief and go on to something that they like to talk about. Yeah, well, you have to understand your anger. The anger we feel comes from helplessness. And we're helpless to fulfill our desire. Our desire is that they listen to us and they appreciate us and they agree and they
see the light. That's our desire. And that's an attachment, of course, to the current impossibility of them seeing the way we see. And it isn't going to happen. So we, you know, the anger represents unloved sadness. It's basically our unloved sadness that they don't care, and that we're alone, and that we don't have community, and that we don't have loved ones who have the same view, and we feel not alone. We feel, you know, family and you know, loved ones with us, but we don't. And it's really our sadness that's under the anger. And that sorrow ought to be healed. And as that's healed, we'll have less anger. Well, we can accept things the way they are by accepting and understanding the roots of our sadness. Knowing, first you have to realize for yourself, not by my talking, but for yourself, that under your anger is disappointment and hurt. And then you have to find, what is my disappointment and hurt? Well, it's that I'm not, you know, I'm alone. And nobody really cares what I have to say. And, you know, I don't really like this planet anyway. And, you know, I'm here for them, or I'm here for something, but nobody really cares about me or what I have to say. And that's sad. So if that's under the anger, then we need to understand and accept and suffer through that, to grieve that condition. And as that's done, then there's heart strengthening. And then we find less anger in the future, but just a kind of a little poignant, heartful, a little sad, but not sharply painful experience that we're kind of on our own or with a very small community here in this lifetime. And that's just the way it is, and that's what we chose. We chose that. It's much better for wanderers to be scattered, you know, rather than concentrated. It's better for little shiny points of light to be distributed in the dark cloth rather than all concentrated in one zone. So that's one reason the wanderers are often alone. No, definitely not. You see, Ross said, wanderers become completely the creature of 3D in mind and body. Not in spirit, meaning the subtle spiritual energy fields associated with head, sixth and seventh rays, retains home density vibrational characteristics. However, to the extent the wanderer is not awakened to being a wanderer and more, there's some lack of intercourse or interplay between the head and the torso, between the chakras of spirit and the chakras of body-mind, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 being body-mind and 6, 7 being spirit. The person is not fully grounded, their spirituality isn't grounded, and their mind isn't fully spiritualized. Yeah, you see, you know, the question is, what's the specific result of that particular recognition in terms of the unification of the body-mind-spirit energy field? Certainly, to the extent that a person has some sense of spiritual path, learning and helping others, basically, growing and helping others to grow, caring about the world and continuing to be good to ourselves for our own growth. To the extent the person believes all that or knows that consciously, then there's pretty good linkage between mind, body, and spirit. Being a wanderer
is, you know, not the same as living a spiritual life. Or knowing that you're a wanderer, in some cases, would have less integrative effect, but for others, it has more. So you see, it's subtle. A wanderer recognizing him or herself as a wanderer isn't of itself the door opener to greater light radiance or body-mind integration with spirit. But it can be very useful for many people, or it usually leads to greater opening or represents one and supports it. But in general, nevertheless, a person can be living living a very spiritually balanced, clear life with a lot of integration without knowing they're a wanderer. But they should be open to it. If they're not open to it, there may be a problem there. You know, there also are people who appear to be very spiritual and are mainly walking the talk, talking the talk rather than walking. They're basically talking it, but it's not very deep in terms of how it's being lived. So there's no simple answer to that. But normally, when the wanderer does recognize that they're a wanderer, it's quite significant and does lead to greater light integration transmission. Because it's a radical recognition, you know. It's not a little thing. Because it really to really believe that, you have to have rejected a lot of the common delusions about self and universe and the world. You know? That's why, that belief is associated with psychosis. People who are crazy, who say, I'm Napoleon! Or, you know, I am Cleopatra! Or, I'm an ET commander! Meanwhile, it is a radical questioning or rejection, you know, of the common mind, common views. But so anyway, they can be living a spiritual life and living a good life and being very helpful, but still not be ready for that recognition. It's somewhat more advanced, you know. But that notion of being a wanderer is definitely, part of some people's delusional narrative. For sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, some wanderers have lost it. That's just the reality here. But, you know, getting back to the first point we brought up, I think we just need to be more at peace with ourselves and accept more the limitations of community in 3D. You know, there isn't a lot of community for us. True community of mind, heart. There's very little, almost none. So that's a stressor, you know. That's a long-term burden or limitation in emotional well-being. Yeah, that's a really good point. I totally agree. And that's why a lot of wanderers are kind of solitary. And that's why, you know, after repeated forays into normal communications and normal community and groupings, and finding that people really don't have much interest in what we have to say, it's appropriate to leave and go alone. It's more harmonious to be alone with your understanding than to be with many others who reject it. So, you know, in a way, the whole human life has to be... Nityananda said every moment is a test. And
which was a very deep thing to say, because that wasn't really what he was teaching. He wasn't really teaching anything. He was just, you know, making wishes come true. He was just sort of granting people what they asked from him. Well, that was a lot of what he did. But I think Wanderer has to see this whole life as an extended training, an extended, you know, period of testing or training, which is not for the purpose of having a good time. We can have a good time every day, but the purpose of being here is not to have a good time. The purpose of being here is to be of benefit to the world and the humans and ourselves and our group. And the media, you know, just tells you, have a good time, go for it, yeah, yeah. You know, me, me, me. Which, you know, just further confounds people. Well, yeah, there's not a deep fit. You can feel with, you know, with other wanderers, we can sometimes feel a heart fit or a heart touch. And you know, with wanderers or just people who really we do care about and care about us, and the love is pure or clear. But in terms of mind, forget it. So in terms of content, and I think we just have to make peace with that. But you know, it's not forever. This too shall pass. All things must pass. So you know, it's like the guy who takes a business trip. He knows he's coming home when the trip is over, and he's going to have to stay in the hotel and rough it a little bit and do his work and do his thing, and then when it's over, he goes home. So the discomforts and the deficiencies need to be held in the context of the big view of time, the bigger view of time, which is that we're not going to be here for many more years, I think. I mean, it's possible that this life ends in an ordinary way, although it doesn't seem to be, and we have another 10, 20, 30, whatever, years, 40, who knows. I can't imagine it, but I guess it could be. But that's not a long time anyway, you know? That's not so long anyway. So, if there's a revert, you see, a great achievement, which is very difficult, is a reversal of attitude, in the sense that yes, I like pleasure. Yes, I don't like pain. Yes, I want what I want, and I don't want what I don't want. Okay. That's normal. That's the normal perception, normal bias. A much more useful view is, although I want what I want and I don't want what I don't want, nevertheless, whatever happens is a great opportunity for my development. Nevertheless, whatever happens is grist for the mill, is something that I can work with to become more free. And that means to make peace with and understand more, and be without to be without sorrow, to learn to be without sorrow. That's a very great challenge. I mean, first we learn to be in the sorrow under the anger, or the loss or disappointment under the anger and frustration. Anger, frustration, impatience, all that, including restlessness, is rejection of underlying hurt. Once we can accept the underlying, or move into or willing to go into the underlying hurt, sadness, sorrow, disappointment, loss, loneliness, slowly we can see that actually what we felt we need, we don't need. I don't need a soulmate. I don't need partner. I don't need community. I don't need to go home now. Yes, it absolutely is, and I haven't learned it fully. But it's true for you too, and you haven't learned it fully. So it's the same for everybody, and we haven't learned it fully. It isn't unique to me whatsoever. So what we think we need that is the cause of our sorrow and sadness and loss, hurt, feeling of loss and disappointment, actually we don't need. You know, all you really need is yourself. Nothing more. Not even your mind. So, you know, it's you know, that's where you get the harsh lessons of, you know, paraplegic, who has nobody. That's it, nobody for the rest of the life. Can you be free of the need to have a body when you have a body that you can't use? And then, you know, people who get old, as we get old, and then we lose mental faculty. And people have a hard time, of course, coping with that. You know, my memory isn't as good as it was before. I can't think as clearly. I'm not quite as sharp as I used to be. People feel depression on that, too. Yeah, I think a lot of people do. We are, all of us, in some way, as we're over 30, 40, 50. But, you know, what do you really need? What do you really need? But you have to answer that for yourself. It's not my answer. So, but it is an important reversal to put to the side the ordinary seeking of happiness or comfort or, you know, harmony, peace, well-being, which we want, which we have, which is fine, of course. But to learn to slog through what's not that, or realize at a higher level that it's fine anyway. Fine anyway. And thanks again. And sleep well, if it's sleep time. And good night for now. Okay. Good night.